Good afternoon, everyone. It is 12:02 p.m. now, July 22nd, 2024. This is a public input session, which is different from the normal, either regular meetings or work sessions or informal hearings or formal hearings we do. This is really about, just as the name implies, gathering public input. On case number PU-23-341, which is a natural gas rate case requested by Montana Dakota Utilities Company. I'm joined today by Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchak. Just a little announcement that, because we do one of these in the daytime and then another in the evening for those, to make it as convenient as possible for the public. These start with the company doing a presentation so that the public hears what it is that the company is requesting. And the other one later today at 5:30 or 5, whichever it is, I have a church meeting tonight and I can't get to Hazen from here if I'm here for that meeting. So I'll be going up there this afternoon. I will call in for that virtually. And then as soon as that's done, I can get to that meeting.
It's at 5:30.
So that's at 5:30 this afternoon. As for now, Commissioner Fedorchak, did you have any comments or announcements or anything?
I don't. I think it's best to get the presentation from the company.
No, wait. You're the portfolio holder.
I am.
I'm sorry.
That's what you were asking.
I was going to you last as portfolio holder to turn it over to the company.
Nobody remember I retained gas.
You're retaining gas. That's right. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, did you have any?
How can you follow up that comment? No, I do not have any comments.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
It
was an old miscue that Commissioner Fedorchak said one time, saying the right thing, but in a way that could be taken differently, and we tease her relentlessly about it. So anyway, but she is the portfolio holder, so take it away, Commissioner.
All right. So, yes, since I am the gas portfolio holder, I think it's best to start with the company, and you can walk through your request and all the reasons for it, and we can move to public comment. So take it away.
Thank you, commissioners. Just wanted to start with introductions. My name is Tara Vesey. I'm the manager of regulatory affairs.
Travis Jacobson, also in regulatory affairs.
Stephanie Bosch, also with regulatory affairs.
I just have a really quick presentation to go through today and to talk through this particular case. As you all said to clarify today, and we do have the case presented a couple different areas here for those of you that are in the room. This is case number PU-23-341. And this graph that we're looking at now is a pictorial representation of MDU Resources Electric and Natural Gas Utilities Group. And really what this is meant to represent is to show how Montana Dakota Utilities is really one area within MDU Resources Utilities function. And they're really one kind of standalone business unit within MDU Resources. So you can see that Montana Dakota Utilities covers Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, and South Dakota, and Montana Dakota Utilities represents electric and natural gas assets. And then within MDU Resources, there's also Great Plains Natural Gas that has natural gas assets within Minnesota and also Wahpeton, North Dakota. And then there's Cascade Natural Gas in Washington and Oregon, and also Intermountain Gas Company in Idaho. So all of those utility companies make up the utility group within MDU Resources. And so, and all of those are under that umbrella. And so that is all those separate business units that make up that umbrella, or that are functioning within that umbrella. And then there's also other business lines that contribute to MDU Resources earnings that are like WBI, Everest, and so on. So just wanted to kind of paint that picture of Montana Dakota Utilities being one kind of standalone business unit within MDU Resources business area. Here we have an example of the North Dakota Natural Gas Service Area. Montana Dakota services just shy of 118 natural gas customers in 77 communities across North Dakota. And as we look at this particular request that was filed on November 1st, Montana Dakota requested an $11.6 million increase over our current prices, which is a 7.45% increase. We also requested an interim increase of $10.1 million, or 6.5%, which was effective January 1, 2024. The average residential customer monthly increase was $5.23 a month for Montana Dakota customers and $2.86 a month for Great Plains customers in Wahpeton. The last price increase for Montana Dakota and Great Plains Wahpeton customers was in June of 2021, and that was $6.9 million, or 6%. The primary reason for this increase was due to infrastructure investments of $35 million since our last increase, including the System Safety and Integrity Program that we have in place to increase aging infrastructure. Those investments have led to increased depreciation expense and property taxes, as well as increased labor expenses and other inflationary increases. The typical residential customer that uses approximately 80 decatherms a year will see an increase of about $5.89 per month for an Montana Dakota customer, and about a $5.16 per month for a Great Plains Wahpeton customer. Additionally, we are proposing to reintroduce a volumetric charge to the customer's residential bill of about 43.8 cents per decatherm. One thing that we wanted to talk about is that there, and to clarify, is that there's really three components to the customer's bill. There is a basic service charge, which is kind of a flat monthly rate. There's a distribution charge, which is typically a volumetric charge. And then there's a cost of gas, which is typically a pass-through cost and a cost that the company does not earn a return on or make any money on. And this case is not related to the cost of gas. That is still something that the company will not make money on. That is still something that the company will continue to provide monthly filings and each month to have fluctuation as that commodity price changes. So in summary, again, this total request is about 7.45%, and you can see that that total increase is split amongst a variety of customer classes, and dependent upon the customer class here, about 9.84% for the residential class.
So that's it.
Thank you.
All right. Randy, do you want me to proceed?
Please.
So.
Can I clarify one thing?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Or were you turning it over to the public, or did you have some questions? Take your questions
I was
first.
I was just going to provide a little context, but go ahead.
So the interim rates that went into effect the beginning of 2024, so that people paid on most of the residential class uses their gas in the winter, and so that people were paying in January, February, March, and April equals about $5.23 a month on the average. And what you're asking for, I'm on the MDU side, not the Great Plains.
That's correct.
Would equal about $5.89 per month. So while it's almost $6 from the last several years increase, it's about 70 cents from what they paid the last half of this winter, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
And of that interim, was any portion of that added as a basic customer charge, or was that all just on rates? I forget how the interim is calculated.
The interim is calculated as a percent of bill, so it's applicable to, for residential customers, it's just on their basic service charge. And then if it's one of the other classes, it's on their basic service charge and their distribution charge.
Okay. There was no volumetric piece.
Correct. Today, no. Residential customers don't have a volumetric
right.
piece.
Okay. All right. So I don't have any other questions, but maybe Sherry might, or Randy. I just did want to provide just a little bit of context for the public that this piece of the process is helpful for us because it's prior to the hearings. It helps us inform what the public is thinking about, so it can inform the kind of questions we ask the company in the hearing. It also, we have a number of staff members here, the advocacy staff, and they're the ones that are kind of taking the side of the consumers and the public and looking out for the public interest. So it helps inform them and the consultants that they're working with in terms of what kind of questions they look into also in this case. And it's also important to know that we will be having hearings on this case as well, public hearings. This is between now and then. Our advocacy staff will continue to tear apart the company's request, look at it, and bring forward a case to us that basically represents what they believe to be in the interests of the citizens. So any public input today helps inform that case as well as informing us what you're worried about. So with that, do either of you have more questions?
I do not.
I have a couple. Excuse me. I have a couple. you are reintroducing the volumetric charge to the residents. Can you just give a little bit overview on why you're reintroducing that and why you feel there's benefit for that, pros, cons?
Sure. When we looked at the size of the increase, and we also took note of past commission input, there seemed to be a desire to reintroduce that at some point. So when we looked at everything in this case, we decided it was a good time to bring that back.
Okay.
Otherwise, the entire increase would have, for residential customers, would have gone through the basic service charge.
Mm-hmm. I think the last case we had, we didn't approve the volumetric, but
right.
on that, so... my other question is on the map that you went through, and you talked a little bit about other businesses or, you know, under that you have Montana Dakota Utilities and you have MDU Resources. You kind of went through that. There's been some change in some of those other businesses this past year. Can you just highlight a little bit on that?
Yeah, so... Montana Dakota, or MDU Resources, the umbrella overreaching, recently had a spinoff. Knife River used to be part of the MDU Resources family, and I believe it was May 1, Knife River spun off into its own organization and no longer is part of MDU Resources. And so that became its own publicly traded entity as of May 1, 23.
Okay.
On that point, wasn't there some plan to kind of merge Great Plains and MDU so they aren't separate? And what's the status of that?
So Great Plains is a division of Montana Dakota Utilities, and we had continue in our cases plan to merge Wahpeton, North Dakota, into the Montana Dakota Utilities tariff plan. And so that has continued with each case as we sort of try to move them slowly into that process, so it isn't kind of a quick and aggressive change to that customer base. But I think as we see changes to our, you know, throughout this case, we see another step in that process, and that has been has been presented as part of this particular case. I would say would we call that phase two of this process?
Right. So in this case, we propose to bring Wahpeton under MDU tariffs in two steps. So the first step would be just implementing their rates today, but keeping them on a Great Plains bill. And then I believe it was 6 months out, we would move them under an MDU bill.
Okay.
And they would be an MDU customer.
Okay. And obviously, we'll go into all of these in more detail in the hearings. So I don't want to get too in the weeds right now, but...
If I could just add one more thing, you know, part of this is precipitated as well by the WBI expansion project. So we have a lot of customers in the Wahpeton area that want firm service, and as it stands today, we're unable to do that. So we've worked with WBI to provide a pipeline from, I believe it's Mapleton, down to Wahpeton. That allows us then, if you remember, to pick up Kindred on the way through. Mm-hmm. And potentially serve some other customers along the way. So as far as we are aware, everything is on track for a November 1 date of the Wahpeton pipeline.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions up here? Okay. So if we have members of the public who want to provide us some feedback, I think the best would be to come to that head table there and hit the microphone on, and it turns green, and we'd be happy to hear your thoughts. Do we have anybody online? Okay. Sir, do you care to make comments?
I'm not totally prepared for this, but I'm willing to put in my 2 cents.
Okay, excellent. Very good. We don't expect, you know, like the Gettysburg Address or anything. We're happy to have you here and want to hear whatever you have to say. Any of those, yep, and Chris will get you hooked up to the... There you go.
Just like that.
I suppose you need an introduction.
Sure, just your name and...
My name is Darryl Wetzel.
And you can
up here
feel free to sit.
I'm kind of a typical cranky old senior citizen on a fixed income. If that don't throw you some red lights, why, the meeting is over then. So, first question I have is going through your report, and I realize the report ended on 2023, but what you presented to the, I guess I'll use the word, the stockholders or whatever, the picture was rosy. You had all kinds of net income increases. Accordingly, your gas had a larger net income compared to previous years. So my kind of the first question I have is, why can't you use some of the profits for some of this instead of continually coming back and throwing the burden back on the shoulders of the people?
So I think it's, we've typically had some Q&A back and forth in these. So you're, you know, regarding concerns. It's not a hearing.
To some extent, you know, so Darryl, you know, this is more for public input to, you know, point out, you know, someone might say, well, this should be more the monthly service charge and not so much per decatherm I use, or the other way around, make the ones who use a lot pay more and keep my monthly fee lower. I think for public input, when we have our full hearing and we'll have a consultant and there'll be attorneys involved and people will be under oath, and we will grill them on things, and that's really the Q&A now, like, to prepare for, you know, to set up some comments you want to make. I don't mind if you ask a couple questions, but this isn't really a chance to put the company on the witness list to ask them a lot of questions. But if you're wondering about things like that, I guess maybe the proper way is to point out that fact that they're, as you're saying, there were huge profits earned, and you'd sure like an explanation. And then they can choose to give it or not. But
yeah. Well, like I said, I'm not educated enough to completely understand these books in here. They got numbers in here that I have no idea where they come from or how they arrive at them.
And for recording, would you say what book you're looking at, just for the record?
I'm looking at their annual, I guess you'd call it their annual report. That's what it's labeled at.
Okay.
Which was for 2023. And I realize that, of course, we're 6 months into 2024. So things do change. I understand that. Going to one of their exhibits here, I have one issue. I guess I'll just say it, that it would be the consumer price impact exhibit.
Page 7. Okay.
The last statement, I'm not sure what they're telling me. It says reintroduced volumetric charge to residential customers bill 0.438 per decatherm. I guess I don't understand, is that already in existence or is that yet to come? That's one of the inputs that I'm confused on.
Mr. Wetzel, I'll take a crack at explaining that, and then the company can offer some insights. But if you go to the next page, on page 8, you'll see there's that pie that says basic service charge 40%, the piece of that pie. That's the basic service charge that customers are charged no matter who you are, no matter how much you use. You pay that for service.
It's a fixed charge.
So currently, you see that little gray sliver there that says distribution charge 5%. If you looked at current rates, that wouldn't be in there. All of the costs would be in the basic service charge currently. What they're proposing is taking a portion of the basic service charge and putting it in a distribution charge, which is something that varies based on your use. So the amount would be approximately the same. It doesn't technically change the amount that the average customer is going to pay. It's just a portion of it is collected through a distribution charge versus the basic service charge. So theoretically, if you're a really low user, yours might be less. If you're a really high user, yours might be a little bit higher on the distribution charge. But they're trying to collect about the same amount from each customer. It's just that a portion of it would be collected through that distribution charge instead of a basic service charge. That's their proposal.
Okay. I guess with that, I don't really have any other comments to make other than the fact I'm going to stick to my original comment. When you got profit, I think profit should be used to go toward improvements, which is, sounds like that's what they're trying to come across with. They use the word depreciation in their reports. True depreciation says that if you're going to label it as an expense, you're putting money aside for the future, not necessarily just a figure on your tax statements that says, okay, I depreciate X number of dollars on a certain item. If you don't put that money aside for future improvements, depreciation then becomes just kind of a figure out of the sky blue yonder. So I guess that's all that I have for input as of now. So
appreciate thank that. You.
Mr. Weitzel, are you from Bismarck?
Yes, I live okay. up here on Capitol Avenue.
Thank anything you for else? Being here. I appreciate you taking thank your time.
Thank you.
So I'm not seeing anyone else in the room that I think is here from the public. If there were, it would probably be either a real big surprise to the commissioners or to MDU. So is anyone else online yet, Jason? So we're in kind of a lull. I kind of hate to shut it off this soon since it was advertised till 1:30, but
I'd say 1:45 maybe.
12:45.
I mean 12:45. Sorry.
I'm yakking to match. It's your portfolio. I don't think if anybody from MDU wants to explain like the profit
yeah, I think
statement
that's...
from last fall, since Mr. Weitzel was kind enough to come here today and ask the question, maybe they want to or don't
yeah,
want to.
Yeah, you
want to
add any color to that, the decisions you guys make? Just to, you to all of us, yeah.
I can take a shot at it. So when we, I'm not sure if you caught all of what Tara said, but we had a slide up there, if you can go to that slide, where you know, Montana Dakota is just one piece of MDU resources. And within each of our jurisdictions, Tara mentioned, you know, Washington, Oregon, North Dakota, South Dakota, for each of our regulated entities, the commission looks at each one as a standalone business unit. We have gas and electric in North Dakota, but our rates are set for each one independently, and they're based on the investment that we make for each of those jurisdictions. So really, you know, you mentioned like a profit. So some of that profit was maybe made on the electric side or out in one of our western jurisdictions, but they're all treated independently for the purposes of rate setting.
I think what I heard Mr. Weitzel say was specifically pointing out significant profits in the gas divisions, and I'm supposed they're coming from all over, that, you know, in his words, would should be used to support or some of the improvements that you guys are making versus...
Yeah. And, you know, we have gas operations in 8 separate states,
mm-hmm.
And again, each state is regulated independently, and, you know, you can't take profits from one state to the next state. And just sure. like the commission has likely a different perspective than other state commissions on what is allowable, what's includable in rates. And for those same reasons, we don't, you know, utilize a profit from one state versus another state. The other thing I would say is I think he's looking at comparing a year to year. So some of that is driven by weather. So we may have had unseasonably cool weather, which drives our gas profits. When we file a case, we file them each as a normalized year. So in some of our states, there's a volumetric charge that can contribute to higher earnings. And again, but it's on a state-by-state jurisdiction. So I think there's a lot that goes into the annual report and the gas mm-hmm. earnings, and certainly weather, multiple jurisdictions, different rate settings. So there's a lot that goes into that.
Okay. And this rate case is about setting the rates for customers to support the company's needed investments in this system, plus earnings for your investors.
Correct. Only in the state of North Dakota. Mm-hmm.
So our goal is to find the lowest possible amount to balance all of those needs.
I would say it's to find the appropriate level, yes.
Yeah. AKA the lowest possible amount.
I was going
to say that. All right. That was helpful. Thank you. What a education can we make? When you say Wahpeton, bringing Wahpeton in, do you mean the whole, all Great Plains customers in North Dakota, or is there just the Wahpeton ones?
For Great Plains, we only serve Wahpeton in North
Dakota. And Kindred. No, that's going to be...
Kindred would be
MPU. Okay. All right. Isn't there some surrounding communities that are in that? No?
What about the Minnesota part of Great Plains?
That would continue as Great Plains.
Are you... You mean for now, or are you working with Minnesota on transitioning that?
I'm not aware of a plan.
That'll continue as Great Plains.
Okay. I thought there was an extension from Wahpeton that we were paying for with some separate tariff. There was early, way back when I first started.
I believe that's been rolled into regular rates, and that surcharge, I believe there was a separate surcharge.
Yeah, but that wasn't Wahpeton, was it? Wasn't that some other little town near there?
Not that I recall.
What was the extension for then? They weren't? Oh, okay. They were made then? Is that what you're saying? But they used to be Great Plains or not?
Do you want to come up to the microphone?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Winter Milner is an MPU.
Right, yeah. I just remember having a separate little extension that had a different tariff from Wahpeton that I thought went to a town that was not Wahpeton.
Was that Highway 13?
Yes. That? Yeah, yeah.
That was part of Great Plains. Wahpeton, that's rolled out into.
I see.
That
okay.
Surcharge has been rolled out.
All right.
Jason, I assume you're watching to see if anyone does call in.
What else can we learn about?
What's the status of Kindred?
So on that, we've been waiting on the WBI expansion. And so all of that is now planned. So we're doing we're there marketing to all the customers there. And, you know, kind of getting all of that lined up. I think there's a short extension from WBI into town, and so we're actively marketing, and I don't know how many customers we have signed up yet, but that's where we're at with the anticipation that, you know, some of the customers will end up being later this fall.
But you won't be able to overbuild that whole town.
Did you guys participate in 811 day at the fair? Oh, that's still coming up.
This Friday.
I suppose. Are you doing it?
Personally, I'm not. I don't know if we have someone that will, but.
Does MDU usually show up?
I don't think so.
I think in some years I've seen someone from MDU there. It's not necessarily one of you guys.
No.
I don't wear the B costume up there.
I'm shocked to hear that.
I think you'd be a good ambassador for it. It's going to be about mid-90s. I think you should consider showing
just get
beat
up.
It had to be that amount. It was about that temp when we walked in the parade this weekend.
It was so easy.
That heavy. Yeah. See, it was hot.
But no matter what, it's always fun to be at the North Dakota State Fair.
True, it is. You walk in there and smell the corn dogs, and made me very hungry. And we had to just keep walking, walk out.
And see all those little kids, and I just read into their eyes. They're thinking, when will this be over? I've got enough candy. I want some rides.
Yeah, exactly. How many entrants were there?
I don't know.
We were 88.
They were still going when I walked out.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Mr. Wetzel, have you ever been here before to the PSC?
No, I've never been in this room. I've been to the other public hearings. I'm not sure if they were held anymore, but in the past, I've been to those. I kind of wondered what the difference was between this type of a hearing and a public hearing, so I was kind of here to learn.
Yeah, and in the public hearing, it's limited to interveners who have formally intervened, and the company, and our staff, and we will have an advocacy staff assigned to the case representing the consumers. So they would probably go on forever if everybody were testifying during the hearings. But those will be dug. We will dig into the case much deeper there. It'll be, you know, multiple days typically, as opposed to a couple hours.
And you can also watch online.
I'm not an online person.
Well, you're always welcome to come in person,
benefits
too.
Benefits of you people in the room. I'm in my 8th decade of age.
Whoa.
I can remember the day on the farm when electricity came into the farm. I don't know how far you guys go back, but I can remember that day. And, of course, the situation in the rural areas was whoever got electricity, they put their yard light on and burned it all night. So you could just see who was getting hooked up.
Oh, cool.
Following the yard lights that were turned on when the electricity came to their farms.
Nice. Where was your farm?
I grew up in the Robinson area.
Okay.
Good. Well, I hope you record your story when the lights came on, because someday we might need to hear that again as we go, if we're in a rolling brownout or blackout. But it was monumental when the lights came on. There's a lot of unique stories out there.
Yeah. They were incandescent bulbs too. I think they were 100 watts.
Jeez.
I'm sure they were greater. I just
100 watts.
See, you were standing up there then, too, with candles.
Supplementing it.
So neighbor Joe could see.
Yeah. Did you have the same experience when you got the party lines for phone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We never had phone until several years after electricity came in.
Right.
Not sure who the cooperative was that actually put in the phone lines up there. Oh yeah, we had party lines, the certain rings. You know, you knew who was getting the call just by the rings.
The rubberneckers.
Stuff like that, rubberneckers. good stream of gossip in colleges. You could find out just about anything in the neighborhood.
At the Broadband Association of North Dakota conference last week, a consultant for these companies had dug up an old video of someone. He was a company manager somewhere. Wasn't a North Dakota company. And, of course, he's dressed, you know, suit and tie and very formally. And he put this together for other companies to use at the time. And it was an explanation of proper etiquette for party line users.
Oh, funny.
You know,
everybody check, ignored.
And if it's not for you, you can listen for a few seconds to make sure it's not for you, but then it's appropriate to hang back up again, not keep listening.
Yeah.
It was just so formal, like, you know, they were really on to something new here, and we got to explain this.
Oh, it's so funny.
We
and now
had a party
just...
line with my grandparents. They were the next farm over till about 1990.
Wow.
So if we picked up the phone and somebody was talking, you had to say, you know, just wait. It didn't ring when their phone rang, but it was all online. So.
You shared it for outgoing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. It didn't ring at our place, but there were several neighbors.
Yeah.
And
so you could pick them up.
Depending on language, it'd try to throw you off by maybe using a foreign
language. Yeah.
German
or something, right?
Well,
there's plenty of that.
The settlements were usually all the same language. So
yeah.
You couldn't pull that very good either.
Oh, that's great. And now nobody cares about privacy. Everybody just shares all their information. I swear my kids wouldn't care if they had to share a phone line with anybody. Oh. Party lines. So good.
You had privacy when you had the long extension cord and you would call and you'd go into your bedroom and shut the door or closet.
Yeah.
And they'd fall.
Kitchen, pantry.
Yep.
The long cord, it was all stretched out. Tangled. Get off the phone. You're hogging the phone.
Or your mom would hang up the phone.
Yeah.
That's too late and then you'd be in your room.
Oopsie.
Oh. Oh, come on. I like calling collect. Will you accept a collect call from Sherry? No. What?
Yeah.
Just the rejection.
Yeah.
My dad would always say, no, I'll call her back.
Well, at least he acknowledged you. Once in a while, my family would say, I don't have no idea who that is.
Collect calls were like forbidden.
I know. And I know my folks weren't shook up about me calling when I got back to college, but I do know some of the others that, you know, the parents wanted that confirmation that they made it back on Sunday night or something.
Mm-hmm.
And multiple ones that I know, it was like a code where then you call collect and they decline it so it doesn't cost anything.
Right.
But when they get the collect call, it was assumed that. Must have made it. I never found out, how do the parents know you weren't in an accident and you're calling collect to tell them that?
Yeah.
Right.
There was that commercial a few years back about that. It was like the son would call the dad. Yeah, I got a collect call from Bob. We got a baby eats a boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In my family, though, the thing that I laugh about with long distance calls was. My mom was from a family of six that all stayed locally, grew up at Zapp. And so three lived at Zapp, one in Beulah, two at Hazen. And the way West River was set up in those days, you could call one town each way without long distance. So you know, back when people used to go visit on Sundays, like if we were calling one of the uncle and aunt sets at Zap, my mom would call her sister in Beulah to call over to Zap and tell them that we're on the way.
No charge.
I just felt sorry for poor Aunt Vera.
The middle,
keep everybody
the middle
hooked
man.
Up, you know. But and my uncle in Hazen worked for the telephone company. As far as I know, they did it too.
That is funny. I mean, you really did avoid the calls, and they were. I remember going to the bill. Who's $8? Who talked for $8 worth of time? Like my dad would go through each one. Oh yeah, like no calling before 9 o'clock for sure, ever. We're gonna go back to that in electricity. Time of day rates. Well, maybe not as long as Randy's a commissioner.
Well, Daryl, now you know that you should record when the lights came on.
That's one of the things I remember as a kid.
It was life-changing, for sure.
We'll be redoing our own stories when the lights came back on.
When the lights went off.
Yeah.
Any calls? No? You don't write? You don't call. Do you think, Randy?
It's unfair to the company as well as to the taxpayers to have our staff just sit here for an hour and a half. I think if somebody was going to call in or show up, besides Mr. Wetzel, they
you
likely
can just
would have.
Once again, the next one at 5:30.
Are you guys okay with closing out?
Mm-hmm. I am.
Okay, we will do that, but I do want to announce and just be clear. Our next one of these is this afternoon at 5:30 Central Time. Same way, we'll be here, but we will take calls over the phone or virtually and have the company go through a brief presentation again in case there's a new audience so that they know the details of it. And so we'll conclude this public input session. Thank you, everyone.